Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, Amar Baya. In our previous shir, we have begun to discuss what is considered the beginning of a meal. Because we need to know what's the beginning of the meal, because once somebody begins his meal, even though he should have davened mincha first, he doesn't have to daven mincha, he could finish his meal. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya Hani Chavrim Bevloi, our colleagues from Bavel, Laman Dama Tfilas Arvi Rishus, according to the opinion that we discussed in Masechta Brachos, if the Chiv to Daven Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chayva, says the Gemara, according to the man the Omar that holds that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, Kivan the Sharalei Hamnayu, once they open their belt, Loi Matrichinalei, we don't bother them to interrupt the meal and put on a belt again. Rather, they could eat and then afterwards daven. Even though that the Zman Ma'ariv came, the halacha is that we allow them to continue the meal. Says the Gemara, however, it seems that Lamanda Mechoiva, if you hold that Tfilas Arvis is a Choiv, and obviously, as Tosfos points out, the entire discussion here is regarding Ma'ariv. Because Ma'ariv, there's a discussion if Ma'ariv is a Choiv or Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Krishma, everybody agrees, is a Choiva. So if the person didn't read Krishma, the halacha is very different. So according to Man Dama, the Ma'ariv is a Choiva, says the Matri Chinalei, we would make him put on his belt and daven. Ask the Gemara, v'ha mincha, the Kula Alma Choivihi, there could be a discussion if Ma'ariv is a Choiva Rishus. There is no discussion about mincha. And yet we learned in our Mishnah, that if they began the meal, they don't have to stop. And we learned in yesterday's shir, what is the definition of the beginning of the meal? As soon as you open your belt. So why are we saying that by Meir, if it was a choyva, you would have to, even though you took off your belt, you would have to put it back on to daven, and not by mincha? Answers the Gemara, hasam, by mincha, l'shchicha shikris, people don't typically get drunk. It's the middle of the day. It's the middle of the work day. People can't afford to get intoxicated. Hacha, but by Ma'ariv, shchicha shikris. And therefore, we have to be stricter by Ma'ariv to make sure that you daven, because if we don't make sure you daven, you may get intoxicated and not daven. Inami, but mincha kivin dekvila zimna. Mincha has a very set time. There's a small window when you could daven mincha. Everybody's looking at the clock that they shouldn't miss mincha. Arvis, however, ma'ariv, kivin de kula laila's man arvis, you could daven ma'ariv throughout the entire duration of the night. Lemirsis. So people feel there's no pressure. And because they feel that way, osu le Mifsha, they will end up not davening Ma'ariv. It's interesting to point out that even though the Gemara says that mincha time, there's no concern of shikris, the halach is that we don't say nasiyas kapayim by mincha. The reason is because we're concerned that the kahanim might have become intoxicated. But if we're saying that people don't get intoxicated by mincha, why don't we say nasiyas kapayim? So Tosfos answers that regarding the Nesiyas Kapayim, even if somebody just drank a revius of wine, he's not allowed to do Nesiyas Kapayim. So that, we're concerned even for mincha time. But for that, you wouldn't be worried not that he's going to forget the daven. For shikris, for real intoxication, we're not concerned that that would happen during mincha time. Ask the Gemara Maskeloi Rav Sheshis, why, if somebody just took off his belt, do we say that he doesn't have to daven? Trichusay lemesem nayu? Is it such a big deal to put the belt on? Void. Furthermore, lecha hatzvilitzli. So daven without the belt. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Shenemar, Hikai Lekras El Kech Yisrael, you can't daven without a belt. The halacha is that a belt should be worn by davening, and therefore the option of just davening without a belt is not an option. So Tysus points out that only answers the second question, that daven without a belt. So Gemara says it's not an option to daven without a belt. But it doesn't answer the first question, what's the big deal about putting on a belt? So Tysus says that the Gemara is only focused on the second question, not on the first question. And I saw from the Agos of Eliyahu Guttmacher that when the Gemara uses the word va'oid versus v'su, the Gemara is only more focused on the second question than on the first question. But the Ritva says that what does the Gemara mean with hikon l'kras l'kech Yisrael? The Gemara doesn't just mean that one has to wear a gartel, one has to wear a belt when he's davening, but rather what the Gemara means when it speaks about hikon l'kras l'kech Yisrael, the Gemara is much more focused than that. And the Gemara's point is that when you daven, you have to daven in a way that you look presentable to Hashem. That isn't just putting on a gartel. It's much more than that. And that's why the Gemara is saying that, yes, stopping a meal and getting yourself ready for Ma'ariv is a lot more complicated than it seems. So here we have the discussion. If one is required to wear a belt when he davens. So the Machsa Vitri, quoted by Tosfos, says that we learned the Masechta Brachos more than once, that there's a concern that when one is davening, shloi liboi royas erva, that the upper body and the lower part of the body should be separated one from the other. And therefore, you need to wear a belt to separate. And therefore, Tosfos goes on to say that bizman hazeh, where we wear belts on our clothing anyway, the halacha is that you don't necessarily need to wear a belt. However, many Rishonim, and Tosfos himself seems to take this point, says that there's another reason to wear a gartel. Because as the Gemara quotes, Hikoin l'kras l'kech Yisrael, a person has to prepare himself for davening. And what is the proper way to prepare yourself for davening? By putting on a special garment that you wear for davening. I did see an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbuch Shlita in the Shalos HaTshuvos, Tshuvos VaHagos, in Chelek Aleph, where he discusses this entire issue of wearing a belt by davening. And he seems to take this is a Chelek Aleph, Simon Samach Tes, and he seems to take a new approach. His approach is that when is a belt considered a garment that you want to wear for davening, it's only when it's a garment that that has a belt. So putting on the belt on a garment that's made to have a belt shows that you're preparing yourself properly for davening. He says most jackets or suits that we wear aren't meant to have a belt around them. And since they're not meant to have a belt around them, then it doesn't necessarily mean that much wearing a belt. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Barafuna, Rabbi Pazmaki, he would put on shoes or matzli and when he would daven. It's inappropriate to daven barefoot. Besides special times in the year, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. The Rambam, however, says that this halacha is only in a place where people usually wear shoes. So to come davening barefoot is not respectful. But if you live in a place where people don't wear shoes or don't wear socks, then you could come to davening without shoes or socks. On the other hand, the Ben Yoyada says the reason you're supposed to wear shoes and socks when you're davening is because we're supposed to look like malachim. Malachim, we know, don't have toes. So by covering our toes when we daven, we show that we are comparing ourselves to malachim. Rava shadi glima. Rava would take off his coat, upachi yadei, and clasp his hands, umatzli. And that's how he would stand by davening. For he said, Omar, how does a person have to stand by davening? Kavde kamamora. Like a servant stands in front of his owner. Omar of Ashi, chazina le Rav Kahana. I would observe Rav Kahana. Kiyikat tsar ba'alma, when there was problems in the world, shadi glima, he would take off his coat, not to wear a beged that's choshev, the pacha yoda, and he was clasped his hands of matzli. Omar, for he said, the proper way to stand by davening is ka'av de kamimora. However, kika shalom, when there was peace in the world, lovish miskasi, he would put on a significant garment, umisatef a matzli, and that's how he would daven. And he said, as we keep on quoting, hikoin lakras al kech yisrael is the proper way to daven. And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained this Gemara. There are different Maimari Chazal how to approach davening. The Gemara says, "Ein omdim l'spal al matoch kavod roish." A person has to be in a very serious way when he davens. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Ein omdim l'spal al matoch simcha shel mitzvah." Another Gemara says, "Ein omdim l'spal al matoch halacha psuka." So as the Gra points out, we have all these conflicting Gemaras teaching us how to daven. And the way to reconcile these Gemaras is by seeing what is the situation in the world when you're davening. Says the Gemara. Rav Chazil Rav Hamnuna. Rav saw Rav Hamnuna, the Kamar Betzulusei. He spent a long time davening. Omer, he said, Menichin Chaya Oilam. How is it appropriate that this person is giving up Chai Olam and dealing with temporary? So the Pash Pshar in the Gemara is, as Rashi explains, when we daven for Olam Hazeh, for Refuah, for Panasa. These are all different Chai Shah. And we're giving up learning Torah, we're giving up in that Torah, which is Chai Olam. The Nefesh HaChaim takes this a little deeper. The Nefesh HaChaim says that what tefillah represents, it brings a certain shefa to the world. And therefore, there are specific times for davening. Torah is not limited to time. Torah is above all time. And therefore, Torah has a much greater chashivas than davening. And therefore, He was concerned. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mefarshim asked a question. Maybe when he was davening and he was spending a lot of time davening, he was davening at the bracha of Atachayin. He was davening for Torah. So why are we saying that davening is a negative? Maybe he was spending his time davening, specifically asking Hashem that he should have hatzlocha in his learning. So therefore, they suggest that what he saw was, as we discussed in Masechta Brachos, that they, after you finish davening, you may spend time being marich in your own bakashas. So he said, davening is fine, but being marich, spending time in your own personal needs, how are you allowed to do that? So what was Rav Hamnuna's thinking? Who savar? He was of the opinion, Zman tefila l'chod, Zman Torah l'chod. So as the Chasam Sofer explains the machloi, what was happening here, he says that we discussed the Masechta Brachos, a machloikus Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam's opinion is that there's a mitzvah asay min adaraisa to daven every day. The Ramban's opinion is that the only time that the chiv to daven every day is only the Rabbanon. Only when there's a person is in a shas tzara, then he has a chiv deraisa to daven. So Rav Huna, he said, Rav Hamnuna held like the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah to daven every day. And therefore he said,
Zman tefila l'chod, zman tar l'chod. Rava, on the other hand, held like the Ramban, that you're not mechuyv to daven unless it's an eis tzara. And there, what is an eis tzara? That you feel you need refuah, you feel you need panasa. And for that, he said, that means you were more concerned about chaya shah and chaya oilam. The Sfasemis says, like we said before, he said that everybody agrees, Zman tefila l'chod, Zman tayra l'chod. The issue was, is that include when you daven for your own special needs? I saw a beautiful pshat from the Vision of Tzereba. What does the Gemara mean when it says, Zman tefila l'chod, Zman tayra l'chod? Everybody knows that you have to daven 3 times a day. Everybody knows that there are specific times that you can never miss davening 3 times a day, because once you miss davening 3 times a day, you can't make that up, especially if it was b'mezid. So too should be our attitude to Torah. A person has to know that every day we're obligated to daven. So I saw a shaila in the Chashuki Chemed. Let's say there are 2 causes. There's a cause that the people are collecting for Beis Medrash, they're collecting for Yeshiva, and there's a cause to collect for Beis Knesses. What should you spend the funds on? So he says, at first glance, from our Gemara it seems, you should spend your funds on Torah, because our Gemara says that Torah comes first. However, he does say, if there are many people that are prepared to spend money on the yeshiva, and they're not prepared to spend money on a Beis HaKnesses, so then you should spend money for what people aren't ready to spend money. He quotes a child that was asked his father-in-law, Rabbi Yosef. He says there was a collection being made for a hospital, and there was a collection being made for a yeshiva. So he said it's much easier to get people to donate money for a hospital than for a yeshiva. So if there's a time that one cause has more people donating than the other cause, for sure you should spend your funds on what people will not be giving to. I guess it would be in the category, but Makom Shein Ish, Hishtadel Liyis Is. Says the Gemara, Rav Yirmiya, Havayosa Kamei de Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiya was sitting in front of Rav Zeira, Ask a Bishlatze, and they were learning. Nogelet Sluya, and it came the time to daven. The Kamasar of Rav Yirmiya, and Rav Yirmiya got up quickly to daven. Karle Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira said about him, Meiser Ozmoy Mishmoya Taira. If somebody holds himself back from learning Taira, Gam Tfilosateva. When the time for learning comes, and you're a person that's not obligated to daven that time, let's say there's time to daven, or let's say you're an individual who's Tarasoy Imnasoy, says the Gemara, what you should do is learn, not get up for tefillah. And I saw the Ramosha in the Chuvis, in the Shalos Chuvis, Igris Moshe, Oyrechaim, Chelik Beis, Simon Yud Zayin, says that many times when we learned Masechta Brachos, the Gemara said, on certain situations, tefillosoy teiva. And the halacha is, when tefillosoy teiva means that you have to repeat the davening, because the first time you daven wasn't the proper davening. So says Rav Moshe, if somebody got up from learning to daven when he wasn't supposed to get up from learning to daven, which the Gemara here is calling tefillosoy teiva, that means he has to daven again, because he had no right to daven at that time. So we discussed in our previous shiur that when you begin something, you don't have to stop to daven. So ask the Gemara, Emesai Hascholos Din. At what point is it considered that the Din Torah began? Rav Yirmiya of Rav Yoina, Chanam Mishisatva Dayonim, the Dayonim would put on different cloaks when they sat in the Din Torah, V'char Omer, and the other Man Domen Sa Mashiat, Viftuchu Baladinim. Why do they put on the special clothing? So the Pasha Pshat is, El Kim Nitza Abadas Kale, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits by every Din Torah, and because the Shechin is there, you have to dress properly. Another pshat is that they shouldn't see the litigants who are standing there. Chan Omar, another one says, Mishiftuchu Baladinim, from when the Baladinim begin presenting the case. Says the Maravalai Pligi, there really is no machloikus. Ha, daskiv osabadina, if they're already in the middle of doing din tyrus, so if they're already in the middle of doing din tyrus, there is no, he doesn't have to put on these cloaks again. So therefore, the beginning of the din tyrus is represented, but when the litigants begin making their claims, for hard the last of us, but even if the beginning of the day, it's when they put on these special begodim. Says the Gemara of Ami v'Rav Asi have Yasvi Garsu Ben Emudei. They would sit and learn between the beams that the Beis Hamidrash was standing on. Koshat v'shat have a tafcha ibr d'dasha, and every moment they would make an announcement. They would bang on the door and make an announcement. If there's anybody here who has a din Torah, they should come for the din Torah. As the Yaakov explains, they were the dayonim kavuim, and therefore it was their job. Says the Chasam Sofer, they didn't wait till the litigants came to them. They recognized how important a din Torah is, and they announced, if anybody has something to come, they should come. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, V'yas, B'dina, Kol Yom. They sat in din Torah the entire day. Have a kachalish libayu. And they got faint. They were hungry. That's the second pshat of Rashi. The first pshat Rashi suggests is that they felt bad that they had spent the entire day in din Torah instead of learning. Tanul hu, Rav Chiba Ramidifti. So Rav Chiba Ramidifti told him, the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yamen ha'oma Moshe men ha'boyke v'r'arev, V'chich tzalka al datach sh'moshe yosh v'don kol yom kuloi. Is it possible to say that Moshe Rabbeinu sat at the entire day? If that would be the case, Tarosai Masai Nasis, where would he learn? So Ian Yaakov explains that even though he possibly could have learned by night, but you're supposed to learn by day also. The Chasam Sofer explains that it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu spent time during the day learning. And if it's clear that he spent time during the day learning, but if he sat in the entire sort of day, how is this reconcilable? Ella, what does it mean? Loimer comes to teach us, Shekol Dayan, Shedon Din Emes Lamitoi, if a Dayan paskins the Torah properly, a filo shachas, he only spends 1 hour of the day doing so, malo of a kosov kilonasa shoto HaKadosh Baruch Hu mas bereshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at him as he was a partner in the creation of the world. Ksiv hachav yamin oim ha-moshim and ha-boikiv at arif, v'ksiv hasam, it says regarding the creation of the world, v'yerev yivayke yoim echad. Why is that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to exist. And when people steal or do things that are inappropriate, they cause the world to be destroyed. So these people who spend their time doing the right thing are creating the world. Many Mefarshim discuss what is the meaning of the world called Dain Shdon Din Emes Lamitai. So Taisa says that if you see that a Din Torah is not going properly, you should do what you have to do. Another pshat, I saw a very nice pshat. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that if the entire Beis Din says that the person is guilty, the Bnei Re'im says this pshat, then the halach is that he's innocent. So let's say I see that the entire Beis Din is about to say he's guilty. So I don't want him to be off the hook. So I'll say he's innocent, that he should really get convicted. That is an emes. A person has to know the emes. But of course, the Mefarshim say, a person has to do lamitoi. He has to paskin the way he sees it. And then I saw a very interesting story from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem was once, he and his Talmidim were once at a Din Torah, where it looked like the Dayanim had made a very obvious error. And the Talmidei Baal Shem asked the Baal Shem, how could they make such an obvious error? So he says that we don't know everything that's going on in the world. And what he said was, it's very possible that this person who we seem to think was not treated properly to the Torah, maybe in a previous Gilgal, it was just the opposite. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of straightening it out. And therefore, when a Dayan passes a Din Torah, he has to recognize that we don't know everything that's happening in the Din Torah. The Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majitzu Rebbe says that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that there should be a Din Torah between two people, and by creating a situation that there should be a Din Torah between two people, and the Dayan paskins properly, that person is creating that the world should exist. That's what I saw the Sefer Tapukei Chaim says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, Nasa Adam, let's be partners, because the Dayanim who paskin the Torah properly indeed become HaKadosh Baruch Hu partners in creating the world. So now the question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu only sat in the Torah, not the whole day, so we all remember the story in Parashas Yisroi, where Yisroi comes to Moshe and says, Novel Tibol, you won't be able to exist. Why won't he be able to exist if he didn't sit the whole day? So the Parsha Pshat is, if Moshe Rabbeinu only sat part of the day, not everybody finished the Din Torah, so they waited online till the next day. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw was that they didn't only sit by Moshe Rabbeinu for Dinei Torah. They sat by Moshe Rabbeinu also to learn Torah. But it turned out that Moshe Rabbeinu was busy the entire day, and that's why Yisrael told him, Novel Tibor. Says the Gemara, Ad Masai Yoshvim Bedin. Until when did the Dayanim sit in the Torah? Amar Sheshes Ad Zman Suda. Until the time of Zman Suda for Talmid Chachamim, which is at the sixth hour of the day. Amar Chama Mikra. Where do we see this from the Pasuk? Says the word Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Eilecha Oretz Shemalkeich Nor V'Sarach B'Boki Yechelu. Terrible is it for a land whose king acts like a child. The ministers eat in the morning. Ashrecha Oretz Shemalkeich Ben Chayrim. The king is truly a free man. V'Sarach B'Eish Yechelu B'Gvura B'Loish V'Si. They eat at the proper time with strength. B'Gvura Shal Torah. They spend their time learning Torah, and they don't spend their time just drinking. Tanabonim. So says the Gemara, since we go into the time when one should eat. Shah Rishonah, the first hour of the days, Amachaludim. They were cannibals, and they always ate. The first hour of the day, they're ready eating. Shni is Machalistim, who are people who are Gazlonim. So really, they are also individuals who should be eating at the first hour of the day. Just because they're up the whole night stealing, they have to sleep late. Shlishis Machl Yarshim. People who have made a fortune through inheritance, so they don't work. So they eat late in the day. Revius is Machl Poyalim, people who work. Chamishis, the fifth hour, is for people that eat everywhere else. Poyalim are people who are particularly successful, so they could eat early. They didn't have to work so much. Ask the Gemara Vehaini. Vamar Papa Revius Man Sudal Chalodom. El Revius Mach Chalodom. Most people eat during the fourth hour. Chamishis is when the Pealim eat. This shot holds that the workers eat later because their employers don't let them eat until then. Shishis Mach Tamid Chachamim. Bikam Ve'elech Kazarek Evan Chames. Eating later in the day is useless. Zarek Evan Lechames means like you threw a stone into a pitcher of wine. So even though the pitcher becomes full with the stone, it doesn't really do you any good because there is no wine. Here too, you're eating food, it doesn't really help you. Amar Abaye, Loyamaran Deloy Tamid Bitzafra. When is it not good to eat late if you didn't eat breakfast? Av Tamid Bitzafra, Les Lambam. So we know that most people have the minig that they wait 6 hours from when they eat meat to when they eat dairy. So I saw that the Lecha Mishnah says that this is the makar for that minig, because they used to eat the midday meal at the sixth hour, then they ate the night meat And then they ate the night meal. Dinner was dairy 6 hours later. And therefore, you see that there was a 6 hour break between eating in those times. Amar Rab Adbar Hava, Mispal Adam Tfilosofer Beis HaMerchatz. A person may daven in their bathhouse. The bathhouses that they had 3 rooms. The inside room is where they had the hot water, where they did everything that they had to do, where they stood without any clothing. The middle room was where they prepared themselves. So some were dressed, some were not dressed. And the outer room was where they just entered into the bathhouse. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Adbar Hava, Mispal Adam Tfilosofer Beis HaMerchatz. A person could daven in the bathhouse. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, HaNichlas Beis HaMerchatz, Makon Shnei Adam Omdim Levushim. The place where people are all dressed, Yesha Mikra, you may learn there, the Tfilah, and you could daven there. V'entzar Chalei Mishael Shalom, you could say Shalom, which as we're going to learn is Hashem's name. O'Meneich Tfilin, you could put on tefillin there. V'entzar chleimer shenachayil, so you don't have to take off the tefillin which you are already wearing. Makom shnei adam omdim levushim, the middle room where some people are dressed and some people aren't. Yesham sheil shalom. V'ain sham mikra tefillin, you can't learn, you can't daven v'enachayil tefillin. You don't have to take off your tefillin. However, v'ain meneich lechatchila, you may not put on tefillin. Makom shnei adam omdim arumim, the most inner room where people stand without clothing. Ain sham sheil shalom. You shouldn't say shalom there. Vein tzarich leim mikra tefillin, you shouldn't daven or learn. V'chol tefillin, you have to take off your tefillin if you're wearing them. Vein tzarich leim shenem menichon, that you may not wear tefillin there. So what is the Gemara saying that you're allowed to daven in the base of merchitz? Answers the Gemara, ki kamer of adabar hava b'merchitz shein by adam. It's talking about a bathhouse where there are no people. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, merchitz shamru, when we speak about a merchitz, api shein by adam. Even if there are no people there, you can't daven there. Basic kisei shamru, and the basic kisei we speak about, is api shein by tzoya. Even if there is no waste, you're not allowed to daven there. El ki kamer Rav Ada b'charati, a new bathhouse. That means it was designated as a bathhouse, but was never used yet as a bathhouse. Ask the Gemara, from boy Le Ravina. That was a question that Ravina posed. Ravina asked the question, Hizmina Labesa Kesei Mahu, if you designated a room for a bathroom, but it's never been used, Yei Zimun or Ein Zimun. So is the fact that it's been designated enough to make it into a bathroom? And he never knew the exact answer to that question. And Lav assumes the Gemara, isn't that the same halacha for a merchitz? Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Dilma, shani basic kisei demos. A basic kisei could be, once it's designated, you cannot use it to daven there, even if it was never used previously. A merchatz is not as mos as a bathroom, and perhaps designation alone is the halacha that you can't use it. The Gemara says that a merchatz, even that aren't people, you can't daven or learn there. The Meiri gives 2 reasons. Once it was designated for such a place, you can't use it for such a thing. Or there's zuma, there's leftover humidity there, and therefore you can't use it. And as I said, the difference between a basic kisei and a basic merchatz is that a basic kisei is mos, a merchatz is not mos. What's the raya? That somebody who leaves a basic kisei has to wash his hands 3 times. Somebody who leaves a basic merchatz only has to wash his hands 1 time. Another nafkamina in halacha, if somebody was in a bathroom, even if he didn't use the bathroom, he's obligated to wash his hands. Whereas somebody who was in a Beis HaMerchatz, only if he washed his hands, only if he actually used the Beis HaMerchatz, does he have to wash his hands. Otherwise, he doesn't have to wash his hands. Ein sham shel shalom. So we learned that in the inner room of a bathhouse, you're not allowed to say shalom. Mesai le Rav Mnunim Shmei Deulu De Omar, Osel Odom Shitin Shalom Chaver Beis HaMerchatz. One may not greet his colleague with the word Shalom in the Beis HaMerchatz. Shnem Avyikrula Hashem Shem Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom, and therefore you may not use it in the bath, in bathhouse. Elameato, ask the Gemara if that's the case. Hemnemnusoi, somebody, Mami Oslameimer, you shouldn't be allowed to say the word Amuna in the Beis HaKisei. The Ksiv, the Pasuk in describing Hashem, says Hokel Haneman. So how could we say Hemnemnusoi? And if you'll argue that indeed you're not allowed to, you should not say Neman basically say. Ask the Gemara, Vamarava Bamachasi Amarav Khama Bagur Yamarav, Shari Lamay Mamnusu basically say, you may say Amun and basically say. Answers the Gemara, Hosom regarding Hemnusa, Shem Gufala Ikre Hochi. That isn't Mamish the Shem Hashem. What it means to say is, the Matagamina Lakam Nuna, when we want to speak about attributes of Hashem, so one of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hemnusa. Hacha, Shem Gufa Ikra Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yikrulai Hashem Shalom. Hashem's name is Shalom. So I saw a beautiful word from the Rav Shitzer, Rebbe, the Zera Kodesh. He says that many times in a Siddur, we see that when there are two yuds, it represents Hashem's name. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? When there are two Jews, two yuds, next to each other, and they're getting along, that's Shem Hashem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that V'atem Advekim, he says, when Jews are connected to each other, Chaim B'Hashem Alekeichem. That's when you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shem Hashem. In fact, I saw that the Medrash says that Batruna Sholas Rav Yosef B'Chalifta. There was a noble woman that asked Rav Yosef B'Chalifta, L'kama yom bar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Salamai, and how many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? And he said, there's 6 days. So he asked, and what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing now after he created the world? He said, Yoshev Mezavik Zavugim. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is put together matches. What's pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts together matches? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see couples, Jewish couples, who get along with each other. That's the biggest nechamat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be shalom between Jews. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nowadays. So there's a big machlokes with Rishonim. Had to look at the Shem Hashem, because the Shem Shalom. The Ritva says in the name of Tosfos that even though we're not allowed to say the word Shalom in the bathhouse, it doesn't have the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem. And therefore, he says, you could erase the name Shalom. Tosfos in Masechta Sota says that Shalom is one of the Shem Sheinanim Chokim. You're not allowed to erase the Shem Hashem. And so too is the opinion of Duran. And the remark quotes these opinions that some people never write out the whole word Shalom. If you're writing about a person's name and his name is Shalom, they write Shin Lamed Vav with a piece, with a strechel, but not to write out the whole Shem Hashem. However, the Ritvaz differentiates. He says that if you're writing Shalom in a letter because you're trying to greet someone, so you greet somebody by saying Shalom Aleichem, that represents the Shem Hashem. But if you're just writing his name, that doesn't represent the Shem Hashem, and you can write it that way. And therefore the Taz says, if you have a friend whose name is Shalom, and you're in a bathhouse together with him, you can mention his name Shalom. The Magen Avraham disagrees. And he says you shouldn't call somebody with the name Shalom by his name in a bathhouse. The Mishnah Berurah says the halacha is like the Taz, that you're allowed to say, if you're calling your friend whose name is Shalom in the bathhouse, you may do so. He says, however, Yerushalayim should try to avoid saying the name Shalom in a bathhouse in the mikveh because of our Gemara. V'amravah b'machasya amrav chama b'aguya marav. Hanois matan al chaveroi. If you give somebody a gift, sorach loy haidiyoy. You have to let him know that you're giving him a gift. Shenemar, ladas, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, L'das kani Hashem HaKadoshchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to teach them Hilchos Shabbos and tell them, because by keeping Shabbos, they will be Kodesh. Tanya Mihochen is so that we learn in a Braisa. L'das kani Hashem HaKadoshchem. Omlai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Matana Tav Yesh Tu B'Beis Kenozai. I have a wonderful treasure, I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house. B'Shabbashmo. V'ani Mivakash Lutin L'Yisrael, I want to give it to Klai Yisrael. So he tells him, Leich Vaidim, please let them know. If you give bread to a child, you have to let his mother know why you did it. So Rashi gives two reasons why one is that he shouldn't be embarrassed, and the main purpose of giving a gift is to create friendship between people. But if I'm going to give somebody a gift and he doesn't know about it, then I didn't create any friendship. Of course, says Tosfos, this is only when we're speaking about giving gifts. So giving a gift is something that is, as we just explained, good reason why to tell the person that I gave him a gift. But when it comes to tzedakah, we know that the highest level of tzedakah is matan b'seser, not to let somebody know that I gave a gift, and therefore, under those circumstances, you should keep it quiet. On the other hand, I saw an interesting shaila in the Cheshukei Chemet, where somebody was given, somebody knew that his friend is going through a difficult time. So he told him, a different friend, you have a nice home. And since you have a nice home, my recommendation to you is that I'll pay you to have this person who went through a difficult time the opportunity to leave, to live in that home. And he should think you're doing it to him for free. So he did that. And when the person was leaving the home, he left a present. And because he thought that this person was being nice to him, they let him stay in his home. So the halacha is, says the Cheshukei Chemet, he's not allowed to take that gift. But if he's going to, because you're not allowed to take money for a gift, in a situation that you don't deserve that gift. My overlay. So how do you know that somebody's child becomes aware of the gift? The parents become aware of the gift. Amar Abaye Shofle Mishka. Rub some oil between his eyes. Umalei Kechla, put some cosmetics by his eye. He'll come home that way, and his parents will ask him what happened. Says Marva, Idna the Cheshinu L'Kshafim. But nowadays, they were concerned about Kshafim. And if a child's going to come home that way, the parents are going to be concerned what's going on. My, what should you do? Amar Papa, Shofle Mersimin. Whatever you're giving the child as a gift, rub it on his face. Aini, says the Gemara of Amar Abcham B'Chanina, Hanosim Matan L'Chavei Ein Tzorech L'Diyah. Shnem, as we know, the pasuk says, "Moshe lo yoda kikarn or pana b'dabri itoy." Answers the Gemara loikasha. Have a mitzvah David l'gluya. If it's something that he's going to become aware of, then you don't have to tell him. Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately became aware that his face was glowing. Have a mitzvah the loy David l'gluya. You have to make him aware. Ask the Gemara for Shabbos David l'gluya. Shabbos was something that he was going to become aware of, and yet the pasuk said, as we began this Gemara, "L'das kanid temetagedishchem." Answers the Gemara, Matan Schar Lo Yavid HaGluya. He was going to become aware of the Schar, he was going to become aware of Shabbos, but he wasn't going to become aware of the Gvaldige Schar that comes with Shabbos. And that's why that Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell him that. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda have a knock of Yodai Tatim and Tanusa de Torah. Rav Chisda was a Kohen, and even though he lived in Chutz Laaretz, they still gave Matnas Kuhuna. Omar, command us of Omar Lishmatz Acharatim Mishmei the Rav. I learned by Rav. I have a great appreciation for anything the Rav taught us. So everybody's going to come and tell me something that Rav taught. Yavle Nile. I'm going to give him the Matnas Kuhuna that I received. Because the Aloch is a Yisrael is allowed to eat Matnas Kuhuna. Omar Le Rav B'Machas Yehochem Rav. The Gemara that we just learned. So he gave it to him. Do you love so much the halachas that Rav taught us? Amalei, Hanan Amar Rav. So Rav taught us Milsa Abishai Yakira. A garment of fine wool is precious to the one who wears it. If you wear something, you have more of an appreciation for it. Amalei, so he said, Amar Rav Hachi, is this what Rav said? So he said, Besraisa Adifalim Kamaisa. I actually like this memruch of Rav more than I like the first one. And therefore, we have in the Kitna Achrita, if I would have had another Matnas Kuna, Yavinalek, I would have given to you, but I don't have it. So why did he like the second memra more than the first memra? So the Mashal explains, the first memra is a halacha that applies to everyone. The second memra was something that isn't applicable to everyone. It was applicable to him, and therefore he had more of an appreciation for it. A person should not treat one child different than other children. The count of 2 slum weight of wool. Shenoslan Yaakov Yosef Mishabonov. That Yaakov gave to Yosef more than he gave to his other brothers. Niskana by Echov. Niskal Galdova. Vyardav Asen HaMitzrayim. That's when the whole story of Mitzrayim began. But we know that Avram Avinu was already told by the Bris Ben Besarim that Klal Yisrael will go into Golus. So what is Pshat in this? So the Gros says that even though they were supposed to go to Golus, they wouldn't have had to go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a particularly difficult Golus. Or everything happens, says the Maral, with a reason. And the fact that it happened this way, there has to be a reason why it happened this way. And what was the reason that it happened this way? Because what Yaakov treated him different. But I did see that the Chasam Sofer points out that even though the Gemara is clear that you shouldn't treat one child different than another child, the halacha still remains that if there's a child that needs special treatment, different than all the other children, he's deserving a special treatment, then you're allowed to treat that child different. Says the Chasam Sofer, that really Yosef was greater than his brothers. And because he was greater than his brothers, he deserved a special treatment. The brothers, however, and therefore Yaakov Avinu didn't do anything wrong. The brothers, however, did not know that, and that's why the kinah, the jealousy of the brothers, began.